Venerable Bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the subject of the discourse today is the fourth foundation of mindfulness. Buddha having attained Buddhahood, having realized the truth, having found a clear path for the attainment of Nibbana, expected any devotee to develop himself in three things. The three things are, any devotee must have at least virtue in the observance of the five precepts. That's the least. Based on the virtue, your good conduct, your good behavior, you must make an effort to develop your mind in samadhi. Samadhi is essential for the realization of the truth. One could develop wisdom, gain wisdom through samadhi. Buddha has clearly stated that the three realities of impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things, and the soullessness can only be realized in samadhi. It is clear that the worldly mind is so hardened with the worldly way of doing things, and that worldly way of doing things entirely depends upon the false assessment, which is permanent, satisfactory, and with soul continuity, which are opposite to the three realities Buddha has realized. So one could have a fair idea how much of effort one should make to instill into the mind the true nature of things as impermanent, unsatisfactory nature of things and the soullessness, erasing the false values it lived for so many, many births, such as permanence, satisfaction and continuity. Therefore, to overcome these states or views held by one, planted very deep into the mind, one needs a certain amount of samadhi. And he has defined samadhi as the first absorption, second absorption, third absorption, the fourth absorption. That is the requirement of samadhi. Wisdom, as I explained to you earlier, is gained through four stages. Wisdom is the realization of impermanence, realization of the unsatisfactory nature of things, and the realization of the soullessness. This full development occurs in an arahat, and this happens in him as the fourth stage of development. A certain amount of realization takes place in regard to these three realities at the stage of stream entry. A still better understanding is created at the second stage of development, that is, once returner. A still better understanding is created at the third stage of non-returner. And he finally realized the truth of impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things and soullessness at the stage when he gains his liberation. Now, Buddha has not only asked us to prepare ourselves in the way of developing virtue, developing concentration and wisdom in us. He has distinctly shown you what you should do in order to get rid of desire, which is the cause for all your suffering. In the four foundations of mindfulness, this subject has been dealt in detail. I have explained to you in brief, the 14 subjects of meditation referring to the development of mind in regard to your body and the body of another. And one object there is that the mind has always an attachment to the body, and with this practice of the foundation of mindfulness, the first one, you get the opportunity of separating the mind from the body. there onwards it is the mind that has to be developed to a state when it can get rid of all defilements. In regard to meditation on the body, impurities of the body, with object to separate the attachment the mind has towards the body, you have 14 subjects of meditation. After doing that, Buddha refers to the development of the mind. Your thinking process can do two things, and the two things are, you can feel, you can create a feeling, and you can also think. These are the two conspicuous activities by the mind. When dealing with the subject of feelings, I explained to you how one should conduct the meditation too. Not to succumb to feelings, not to give way to feelings, but realize feelings too as impermanent. And when thoughts of feelings arise in you, to dispel such feelings with the true understanding of what a feeling is. In regard to creation of thoughts too, I explained to you yesterday the two sections dealt in that under that subject. One is clearing of your mind from any hindrance that it is subject to. Thereby, once you clear the mind of hindrances, there is a clarity in the mind, clearness in the mind. And from there onwards, the clearness is directed to develop the mind to a very high states. States of samadhi, connected with the form world and the formless world. And this chapter concludes in referring to the liberation of the mind. What it means by liberation of the mind means liberate itself from the defilements the mind is subjected to up to the point of non-return. If you practice the meditation on the body and the body of another carefully, you will be able to clearly separate the mind from the body. Realistically making the mind clearly see the state of the body. And from there onwards, Buddha has dealt with the two subjects which comes under the mind. That is, feelings and creation of thoughts. As persons who are going through this path leading to liberation, and in many instances I have explained to you clearly that in regard to dealing with defilements such as attachment and animosity, you directly deal with the thoughts that arise in your mind promoting attachment or promoting animosity, or aversion. These two things, namely attachment and aversion, are two subjects which are produced by the creation of thoughts. And such thoughts are not the thoughts which occur in you spontaneously in performing an act of a sense base. Such thoughts are subsequent to the creation of a thought and performing an act of the sense base. Like, after you have heard something, by creation of a thought spontaneously, then other thoughts are created by you. If the subject of that act refers to something present, to pursue this, that present feeling. If it refers to something which you do not like, to create an aversion to that feeling. Those activities of the mind in promoting aversion and attachment are not spontaneously created by the mind. The only thought that is created spontaneously in the mind is to commit an act of the sense basis, either to see or hear or smell or taste or contact or think. Those six activities are created by the creation of a thought. subsequent creation of thoughts of aversion and attachment are your activity, which you ignorantly do, about which Buddha says mindfulness is the answer to check such activity being continued. It is such activity that leads you to the creation of desire. Therefore, what we do is, after you have entered the stream, then under the once returner's development and the non-returner's development, you have two things to be done. The two things are, stop the promotion of attachment to aversion. If you are 50% successful, then you gain the second stage of once returner. If you are fully successful, then you gain the third stage of non-returner. So we advise you to be watchful about thoughts. What are the thoughts that you are watchful about? What are the thoughts that you create in the mind to commit an act of sense based, like seeing, hearing, smelling, etc.? The reference we give to stopping thoughts is those thoughts that you create after the act has been committed. Subsequent development by you on your own, in persons of something present or in persons of something which you don't like. These create the desire. Aversion or attachment are the two things that promote the desire. And these thoughts, subsequent thoughts that you create, they promote either attachment or aversion. Therefore, if you keep your mind silent, that doesn't mean you say that you are keeping away the process of performing acts by the sense basis. No. The creation of such thoughts are promptly done and they cannot be interrupted. That's an automatic occurrence. You hear a noise, there's a noise and you heard the noise. That's something to see before you and you saw it. Those are spontaneous activities of the mind that no person can stop them, unless of course he is subject to some sickness or other, and that he cannot perform those acts. Otherwise, those acts normally are performed by the spontaneous activity of the mind in creating a thought. It is the subsequent developments which you are responsible, being not mindful. Pursue that which appears to be pleasant to you and create thoughts of enjoyment, or pursue that which doesn't appear to be appealing to you and create thoughts of attachment or thoughts of aversion. These two activities promote the desire, and it is these two activities that we ask you to carefully watch and stop them without allowing them to arise in your mind. And for that operation, what is needed is mindfulness of impermanence, unsatisfactory nature of things, and the soullessness. You have to be mindful of these three important realities and apply those realities to instances when thought arise, dealing the subject of that thought as something impermanent, something unsatisfactory, something soulless. Therefore, you interrupt the continuity of that thought by getting rid of it. Now we are dealing with, if you by the end of that exercise of completely making your mind silent, that clearly indicates that you have drained out of your mind any tendency for you to get attached to an object or create an aversion to an object. Attachment and aversion are things that you have created in the mind. When you pursue these two things, you promote attachment and desire. If you interfere with this attachment and desire, thoughts that arise in promoting these two things, then you are suppressing the arising of such thoughts. These thoughts arise in you now as strong habits. The spontaneous activity of the mind in the event of an object arising before a sense base creates a thought, enabling you to experience that sense object. Immediately after that experience, what happens is, thoughts arise in your mind, pursuing what is pleasant or pursuing what is unpleasant. When you pursue what is pleasant, you enjoy that and then create an attachment. When you pursue what is unpleasant, you create an aversion. dislike to the object. And this attachment and aversion, the two things that create desire. Now that you being mindful, taking special care that to see that no thoughts are permitted to arise, and those thoughts are not, as I told you, thoughts which help you to perform and act by a sense base. Those are additional thoughts that you create to create an attachment to aversion. You suppress them by realistically analyzing them as impermanent. And this activity is done by the normal mind. If you do that in samadhi, you are obstructing the rising of thoughts in your mind freely. Because samadhi will not permit you to freely create thoughts in your mind. It suppresses. Therefore, this exercise has to be done, giving full freedom to the mind, permitting the mind to create thoughts. Thoughts are only created by the mind if there is attachment and aversion. Please bear that in mind. If you have no attachment and aversion, no thoughts are created. If you experience a deep silence in your mind, that indicates that there are no attachment or aversion in your mind. Subsequent thoughts are promoted as a result of attachment and aversion. If a yogi comes and tells me that he finds difficult to stop the creation of subsequent thoughts in his mind after an experience through a sense base, then I come to the conclusion that he still has attachment and aversion. That means there is strength in the mind to promote desire. And that promotion of desire is done by attachment and aversion. But once you go on suppressing, once you go on dispelling those thoughts one after the other, treating them as impermanent, 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 then naturally there is a reduction of creation of such thoughts. You must always bear in mind all these are the creation of thoughts and other activities by the mind are a pattern which you have got used to in your existence in this cycle of birth. That is the pattern. That is the way how the mind reacts. So if you promote that reaction further and further, then your habits become strong and your defilements are very firm in you. But on the other hand, if you stop such activity, mind does not want to promote anything. It will promote if you want to promote it. But these incidents are happening automatically without your knowledge. Attachment, aversion, without your knowledge they arise. Why? Because these tendencies have been created, nurtured by you in your mind and maintained. Now you go on analyzing your mind carefully. As I emphasize again, it should not be done when you have transcended the mind to a higher state. Why? Because you are not given the freedom for the consciousness to create thoughts. This exercise should be done while your mind is normally functioning, with full freedom for the consciousness to create thoughts, if it wants to create thoughts. And if there be reduction in the creation of thoughts, that means you have convinced the mind that you are at this end not accepting any of those thoughts. And that suppression you went on in the way of stopping further thoughts occurring, analyzing them as impermanent, has discouraged the consciousness from creating thoughts. In other words, if I correctly analyze it, you have reduced the power of the habit which you have created in the mind in creating more and more thoughts after every incident you experience through a sense base. The second stage of development should also be a rise in your samadhi, may I say the fruition samadhi, when you have come to maturity befitting this second stage in the realization of impermanence. You may feel that you have now suppressed thinking more than half, you have suppressed now, only a few more thoughts occur, but still you feel that you have not reached the fruition stage of second stage of development. Then what you should do is devote your attention to the development arising and passing away on some subject common to you, like breathing, and see whether opportunity is given for the mind to create that situation for you to realize the second stage. And that will happen only you have developed the fruition samadhi in the second stage. And that fusion samadhi, subject to the fusion samadhi, is arising and passing away, nothing else. That's anicca. When you come to the third stage, brothers and sisters, you will see that your mind is very silent and is going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The silence is a deep silence. So to say that if you have drained all your unnecessary thinking in the way of thoughts arising to support attachment or thoughts arising to support aversion, if you have done this exercise very well and no more thoughts of that nature arise in your mind, you will realize that your mind is very silent, is going deep into you, and also that sometimes you experience a state of mind where you go into a deep sleep. You don't know when you enter that state, but you know when you come out of that state, you feel that you have been sleeping for some time. That is not sleeping. That is the development of the mind, where you have cleared the mind from attachment and aversion. Also you have cleared the mind of desire, and the mind is now free to act in its natural way. If there are no thoughts, then the mind must rest. It is one subject after the other introduced into the so-called mental condition that create the thoughts. And controlled by desire, there is no end to such creation. When you have drained your mind of desire, no more desire in you, then the mind comes to rest. And with no subject to deal with, it naturally withdraws itself to a deep silence. And you are in that sometime for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even longer. Very often you come to ask the question, how is it that my mind, that I fall asleep? Do we know that you are not falling asleep? That you are experiencing Nirodha. And that Nirodha exercise can be developed so that according to the scriptures you can live for 7 days without food and water. That is the highest development Nirodha can develop. A person can enter the Nirodha if he or she has attained the third stage of development of non-returner. In that attainment you have got rid of desire. There is no desire in your mind. Therefore there is no reaction of creating attachment or creating aversion. The mind is silent. But you must have the ability to enter a state of equanimity in the fourth absorption and even experience higher formless samadhi. Very often people ask us the question, if I have not practiced formless samadhi, or samadhi the formless world I should say, how is it that I experience these things? The mind can only get into four absorptions, that is in the form world. All the other states of mind in the formless world are your own mental creations. You acquire these skills by thinking. Therefore there is an automatic development of the mind to these states. Once you have developed the fourth absorption. That is why a person who has developed the fourth absorption, who has reached the development in the third stage of anagami, no desires occur in him, mind gets into Nirodha, because circumstances have created in you the ability by thinking or by an automatic process for the development of the other four formless states of mind to reach that samadhi, Nirodha, beyond the eighth samapatti. It's an automatic development. It all depends on the fourth absorption. There are no more absorptions which you can experience in life except the fourth. Abhidhamma refers to the fifth one also as a multiplication of the second to two. Now when you are in Nirodha, you feel as if you are in deep sleep. To identify Nirodha, samapatti, and the state of mind you experience when you are in deep sleep is that a person who enters the Nirodha samapatti, he is not aware how he enters the Nirodha. It automatically happens. But when you go to sleep, deep sleep, you know that you are falling asleep. And it's at the last stages when the mind, the consciousness is really in that state of mind of deep sleep that you forget yourself. In Nirodha, you're coming out of the Nirodha is clear to you. In deep sleep, you all of a sudden get up. In Nirodha, your activity, first is a creation of a thought, second is activity, bodily activity. That is why you can differentiate Nirodha from deep sleep. You don't know how you enter the Nirodha, that's an automatic development in you, but you are fully aware of how you comes out of it. Now, brothers and sisters, once you have finished the two meditations on feeling and thoughts in the four foundations of mindfulness, you have completed three aspects of that discourse pertaining to the body, pertaining to feelings, pertaining to thoughts. If you have done it with fruitful results, you can enter the third stage of development, that is a non-returner stage. At the conclusion of your development of realities in the third foundation of mindfulness. That is important. Then you come to the fourth foundation of mindfulness. In these accounts or commentaries made on the Sutta preached by Buddha, there are various conclusions arrived at. What is important is, what is the reaction in actual practice, these developments. Now there are four distinct meditations dealing with the fourth foundation of mindfulness. One is hindrances. Second is meditation on the four grasping groups, five grasping groups. Third is meditation on the causally created thoughts performing the activities to sense basis. How they are created, how thoughts are created as cause and effect. And the fourth is the development of seven factors of enlightenment leading to the attainment. One would ask the question that in regard to foundation, third foundation of mindfulness dealing with feelings and thought, the eighth thought referred to on the subject of thinking, creation of thoughts, they refer to an analysis of your mind in eight ways to satisfy yourself that there is no hindrance prevailing now. Your mind is now developing very well in samadhi. There is no hindrance. Also, in certain places, the indication given is that these hindrances are not in regard to samadhi, but hindrances are in regard to your attainment of nibbana. Like thoughts of attachment, thoughts of aversion, torpor, sleepiness, the body and mind very tired, then restlessness in the mind, and doubt. These five things, five subjects are created by eight thoughts. And you analyze those carefully and satisfy yourself that those hindrances are not prevailing in you. And then you develop your mind, as indicated by me yesterday on the discourse about developing of thoughts, that you develop your mind to very higher states of, or transcend the mind to higher states, like the formless states of mind. Now the question is, why is it that hindrances, observation of the mind about hindrances, whether they are in operation in your mind or functioning in your mind or not, why was that subject introduced again? The conclusion one could arrive at is that in this chapter, the fourth foundation of mindfulness, you are directing the mind completely for the attainment of Nibbana. Therefore, one should be fully satisfied that there is no hindrance occurring in the mind which is subject to such development. There is nothing called aversion in you. There is nothing called attachment in you. You have overcome all these basic developments in the mind of a worldling. Your mind is also active in regard to alertness. It's not putting you to sleep as such, or making you restless by unnecessary creation of thoughts which promote such behavior to the mind. And you have no doubt about the path now. You have full confidence in the Dhamma. Therefore you have cleared the mind of all hindrances. And after going through that exercise, which is the first exercise on the fourth foundation of mindfulness on Dhamma, you go to the second one. Second one deals with the five grasping groups. Direct indication has been given in the commentary. The five grasping groups refers to sakkāya ditti. Ditti means belief. Sakkāya means pertaining to your body. The belief of an individual living in you, possessing the body you possess. Or in that body of yours, there is the being. Sakkāya ditti. That ditti, that belief is there in you. Then one would ask the question, if you have dealt with that in earlier occasion, the first step you took prior to entering into the stream, why are you now referring to that again in the fourth foundation of mindfulness? In the fourth foundation of mindfulness, there is something more exacting and obstructing your development further. And that is your ego. Your ego is built on your reference to past incidents. When referring to past incidents, you always refer to those incidents by creating an author. That's your I. I did this, I did that, I saw, I met. Those are the references you make all about the past. And this I has been created probably to a great extent by the five grasping groups. Grasping group of form, grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volition, or I should say grasping group of activity, volitional activity, and the grasping group of consciousness. These five grasping groups has created that. Therefore you are expected to meditate on these five grasping groups, leaving no such tendency in your mind. How do you develop that meditation, the second meditation in the fourth foundation of mindfulness pertaining to grasping groups? You meditate every factor in that five grasping groups, grasping group of form, grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volitional activity, and the grasping group of consciousness as impermanent. One by one you have to deal with this subject. Grasping group of form is impermanent, unsatisfactory, soulless, arises and passes away, causally created, and impermanent. Grasping group of feelings, impermanent, unsatisfactory, soulless, arises and passes away, created causally, as cause and effect, and it has no substance. It's just a mental creation. Likewise, every such group, the group of form, group of feeling, group of perception, group of volitional activity, and group of consciousness, you go on meditating on that as impermanent, impermanent. Take every one of these as impermanent, the second as impermanent, third as impermanent, fourth as impermanent, fifth as impermanent, and analyze it carefully. Impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. And that is to indirectly attack the ego, the creation of an I in you. When you speak about an I in you, it really refers to that this I is yourself. And who created this so-called self in you, the five grasping groups? Therefore, after your first meditation to clear the thinking process of hindrances, you resolve five grasping groups also create a force. Concept of a being in you. So that is completely removed as a result of this meditation. Then also there is a question of who is this I? Who is mind? I and mind are two things that are created as a result of the activities to six sense bases. The only way to attack this false belief is to analyze the act of seeing, act of hearing, act of smelling, act of tasting, act of contacting and act of thinking. How? As cause and effect. As cause and effect. How do you do that? You start with your eye first. Eyes are in good condition and they could see. When an object appears before the eye, that's the first cause and effect. The reflection of that object gets registered in the retina of the eye. That's the first incident that occurs there. When the object gets registered in the retina of the eye, when the reflection appears there, it gives an indication to the consciousness to take over the task. And the consciousness, eye consciousness appears there. Once eye consciousness appears there, it cannot by itself create a thought. It has to produce the five mental factors. The eye consciousness immediately produces the mental factor form. It immediately creates a mental factor feeling. After that, as a result of the mental factor contact, you create feelings. As a result of mental factor contact, you create perceptions. As a result of mental factor contact, you create volitional activity. As a result of the mental factor contact, there is the consciousness, eye consciousness. All these steps that occur one after the other is as a result of cause and effect. Because this happened, this is happening. Because that is happening, this is happening. Because this is happening, that is happening. You go on analyzing it. So seeing is something which spontaneously occurs as a result of the creation of a thought. But the creation of a thought is the result of cause and effect. There is no person who is creating that thought. It occurs as cause and effect. And you have to analyze this process carefully in order to impress yourself that there is no person inside us which creates these activities to the sixth sense basis, but they are causally created. And the only way you can do it is one by one. Take each case like the eye, then the ear, then the nose, the tongue, the body and the mind. Go through these things step by step, and convince yourself that these are not creations by the mind, but causally created. This cause has created this situation, this cause has created this situation, this cause has created this situation, therefore you can see. Likewise, the other case, like here, in this cause has situated this situation, this cause has created this situation, and go on, ultimately you hear. In like manner, you have to analyze the other sense-based activities also to satisfy yourself that such activities are the result of cause and effect. Then ask the question, where is this so-called ego I? There's no I. No such performance. Now you are very mindful. Now your mindfulness must be not of past incidents. If you are mindful of past incidents, no activity is done by you now during the present moment. Therefore, you will be referring to any activity done in the past. And more you refer to the past, you will be creating the I more. Because I is the author of the past incident. That's how you have accepted it. And you create more of the I, and that is promoting the false concept of ego. So to avoid that, what you should do is, instead of pushing the mind to the past and referring to any incidents in the past, you should keep the mind in the present moment in front of you. Past is over. You can't recover anything from there. Future is yet to come. What is happening is just now these things are occurring. So you be very concerned about the present moment. So to say, your mind is in front of you now, watching what is happening just now, this moment. There, incident occurred, you saw or you heard or whatever it may be, and it passed away. Just this moment that happened. And that is the cause and effect. The cause arose, effect took place, the cause disappeared, effect too disappeared. Just this moment. And thereby you convince you that there is no person called I in you. It's just a mental creation again. along with that there is mind. That too is a mental creation resulting from the false notion that there is an author to your activity as I. You have to do this in respect of all the six sense bases and satisfy yourself that there is no I, no mind. And when you perform these meditations carefully, the result is that there is no I in you now. That emptiness is felt by you. Mind is also not there. In respect to the eye, in respect to the ear, in respect to the nose, in respect to the tongue, in respect to the body, in respect of the consciousness, no I. Both these have to be practiced, brothers and sisters. It's just not a case of thinking. You have to go on drilling into the mind the true nature of things. And the way to drill into the mind is to practice these things one after the other. I see this way. You see, and giving one after the reasons as to how you came to that conclusion that there is no I. Then we come to the, then you have got into the I and mind. That's a false view, created by you in your mind, as a result of the manner of thinking by you, always giving a place for the person who has created these situations. Why you give a place? That's a worldly way of looking at things. Now you know that there is no such person as such, as the author of these activities, but these things are causally created. The cause and effect is can be traced easily, and convince yourself that there is no person as the author of the activity. Now you go on to the next step. Now we are in this false belief, false view. You have got rid of I, you have got rid of mind, and you also have got rid of, let us say, any belief in any person in you. There's no such thing. Now we are fairly convinced that all these creations are the result of cause and effect. But there's some important factor which you have to get rid of. Why? You still think. You have the ability to think. You have practiced all the developments in the past as a result of developing this process of thinking. And still you can think. And now you come to a wrong conclusion that this process of thinking is what is permanently in you. As self, as the Atma, soul, that is the belief that you create, because that's the last thing you have to deal with. You have got rid of all the others connected with the creation of false views and this and the other and the other. But this remains still firmly in you, that this thinking process has, is the soul I have. And in other words, it is myself. Self. Buddha very clearly overcame this situation by developing the mental factors. The object of developing the mental factors is step by step, while convincing you of the situation in the mind, it leads you to a state of pure tranquility, where the mind is very, very peaceful and calm. It doesn't entertain any thoughts of any objects, mental objects. It's peaceful. That's a state of tranquility in the mind. And how do you reach that height? First of all, you have to be very mindful of all the activities around you. Mindful of the body, mindful of feelings, mindful of thoughts, and mindful of Dhamma, consciousness. You very mindfully observe these things as they occur. As I told you and emphasize often, that a spontaneous activity of the mind in the creation of a thought to execute something experienced by a sense base is an automatic incident, and you are aware of it. So you just treat it, see that too as something which must happen. It's an automatic incident. And you're mindful. And I have emphasized this, mindfulness is what? That you always consider that this body and mind of yours is impermanent, unsatisfactory and soulless. That is the essential quality of this mindfulness which you maintain at this stage. You're mindful, watching yourself carefully. Thoughts occur, they pass away. Random thoughts occur. After that, you devote your attention to the investigation of Dhamma. What is the four foundations of mindfulness. And what am I expected to perform there? What is the five grasping groups? What is the illusion created by the five grasping groups and how it is created? You're just going into the dumb aspect of it. Then of course you are going into the cause and effect. You're going into the aspect of dependent origination. All these things flash into your mind. And you can reasonably separate every link and give a statement to that effect. How it happens and how it occurs and how it functions. Your mind is sharp now. Quite educated in Dhamma. After that you enter a state of virya. Rise of energy in your mind and body both. Virya. Because you are now living in truth. And the more you realistically understand the truth, the more strength you gather. Physical and mental both. So that also you experience. And with that arises what? Cheer. Oh, I see Dhamma clearly now. This is the truth. The false opinions and false conclusions we arrived in the past are over and no more in us. We see the true nature of this so-called being, the human being. There is no being as such in him, is just causally created activity, nothing else. Likewise, you develop yourself and you are very, very happy, cheerful, contented. And that leads to, when you are always happy and cheerful, you don't feel the weight of the body. You don't feel even the weight of, let's say, difficulty in thinking, that sort of thing. That is, body and mind both are very light. That is the result of freeing your mind of all defilements, and this empty cast is there. Mind is also empty of such defilements, which weighs you down. And you feel this lightness in you, in body and mind both. You live in that. In a very happy mood. And there, that lightness of the body and the mind leads you to the development of the mind in vipassana. Samadhi develops. Samadhi develops. And that is vipassana samadhi. Along with that development arises the realization too. And you go on living in that too. And ultimately that mind will develop to a very conspicuous height and gives you the state of equanimity. There's a force there in the mind, you see that, but there's no good or bad, nothing like that. The state of equanimity is given. See how Buddha developed this mind to that degree of lightness in the mind, that you can clearly understand what it is like. And when this tranquil state you live in, you start practicing a vipassana on this mental condition. That's the essential thing. Practice vipassana. What is vipassana? Impermanent, unsatisfactory nature of things and soulless. What? This mind in equanimity. And you go on analyzing as impermanent, 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 impermanent. Then this mind will reach a very, very delicate state and all of a sudden it will disappear. It goes beyond your whole. What do you feel then? There is no consciousness in the body now because that is created by the mind and the mind is also not there. Empty. And that's the void. That's the void they refer to. The void by itself is not Nibbana. That too has to develop to a state of development, culminating in your realization of the truth, gaining your wisdom, befitting the state of mind it has reached, that is Nibbana. There is the light that dawns. Light comes out of your body, and you live in that light. There's nothing called a body or mind. Light is there. And brothers and sisters, we can't give any further instructions for him to meditate because he has reached the highest point. But he must be cautious that he must preserve that condition. He must not get unnecessarily elated by, oh, I am this, I am that, I am that. I doesn't come in there at all now. that those things, you become a very humble person. And the idea dawns to you, I have done what I should do. I have completed my task. I have nothing more to do. That is the thought that arises in you. And you would ask me the question, for instance, that is a frame of mind. He is in that condition now. What is his normal life? He will be very mindful. He would not harm anybody. Even if you slap him, he will just smile and go away. He will never raise a hand to return that blow. If somebody abuses him, he will just smile and go away. He is not disturbed by that abuse. If he has anything to give anybody, take. Freely gifting. And he derives pleasure out of that gifting. So the three qualities that you develop in that state is right thought. What is the right thought? Non-attachment, always spreading loving met, loving kindness, and free from animosity and hatred. The three thoughts referred to in the right thinking. Nekam avyapada avihinsa. Nekam is there is nothing possessive in you now. You see in the gifting of things which you own a great happiness. Seeing another man happy. Maybe the most valuable thing you possess, if somebody wants it, you will never say no, take it. In other words, there is nothing you possess in this world. You have finished possessing. That which has got accumulated around you are all. If somebody wants it, freely give it. No possessiveness. You will not harm anybody. Avihinsa. Even if somebody harms you, you will not harm anybody. Avyapada. There are no malice against anybody. And the key point in your behavior is you are a very, very quiet person. The mind completely turns inward. No world exists for you now. Result of a creation by projecting the mind outward through the sense basis. You are a peaceful being. But you have to be mindful because the fifth, getting rid of your defilement, and that is the fixed one, is at your death. So long as you maintain the body and the mind which are meant for the world, you have to be extremely careful, mindful. So you see, brothers and sisters, the four foundations of mindfulness preached by Buddha has clearly given you a path for you to follow. The most difficult thing in this path is for you to develop yourself in samadhi, that is all. And that can be done by a careful approach on in dealing with your mind. Not to be too hasty, carefully. You may have a lot of obstructions. You may have a lot of discouragement because you can't fix the mind at one point. Such things can happen. It may exist for sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But attend to that peacefully. And in my experience, that's the difficult aspect of this path. The fixing of the mind in one-pointedness, because you have allowed the mind so much of freedom as a worldling, the mind wishes to enjoy that freedom. And any effort on your part to fix it at one point, it detests. But constant application, patience and perseverance will ultimately be successful and the mind will comply with your requirement, fix it at one point and you can develop your absorptions accordingly. So that is the last lecture on the four foundations of mindfulness. And this description I gave you, I should say not according to some of the interpretations given in the books, but more practical. And you will see that Buddha has clearly shown us a path for our development. And one could patiently follow that path, you are sure to gain your liberty or your liberation in this world. Just now, this moment, you can attain Nibbana. Thank you very much.